Welcome to the home of fantasy football's hot stove. It's the all-purpose Roto Fantasy Football Show. Let's go.
Every Saturday, all-purpose Roto brings you the hot stove, where we try to catch up on the most important news of the week. Try to get that done in 30 minutes. I usually screw that up by talking too much. But Chris is here on Derby Day. We are here. I'll probably give you my top five horses real quick at 1.2. Chris, the signings are coming in pretty fast and furious. That's good if you've got some rookies you like.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what you expect, though, right? You don't expect rookies to not sign.
In 5 years, people won't remember that there used to be these big, long holdouts now that we've got everything structured.
Yeah, that's right. We haven't had one of those in a while with the new – I almost forgot about that. That's funny. Those days were – did anyone – a couple people held out into the next season. I forgot about that.
That's happened, and it's been was a big downer for you if it was your team, wasn't it?
It was. I think I remember the Vikings, a couple guys holding out for them, but no holding out this year. And first big signing of the offseason, non-rookie related. Well, not first, but most recent. Jordan Reed, $50 million. What do you think?
Show me the money is what Jordan Reed said, and. You know, if the guy stays healthy, he has shown he's clearly a top five tight end and very important to that offense, right?
Yeah, and I mean, maybe even like a top three tight end. The dude can just get open whenever he wants to. So pretty impressive player. I just don't know. I don't know if I want to take him as the second tight end according to ADP right now. I don't know if I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah, I'm way not comfortable. I don't even have to worry about it. So that's one of those players where I really like him too a lot. And last year, I think was pretty close to 90 catches, probably right about 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns, if I remember right. So dominating, yes. But he's on the Washington offense. He's got Kirk Cousins for a quarterback. He's got injury history. And there's a lot of tight ends behind him that I think are within 20% of that production at about 20% of the cost.
Yeah, so you got Eifert going behind him, Olsen going behind him, Kelsey going behind him, Walker going behind him. I'm pretty comfortable with getting a guy a little bit later rather than rolling the dice on him.
Before last year, had he ever played more than 10 games maybe? I was going to look at that.
The answer is no.
Another
tight end signing. I thought this one was sneaky. Delanie Walker extended for 2 years. He was in the last year of his contract for about $5 million, and he gets a nice little two-year extension.
Yeah, and this is a guy that, to me, is also kind of a steer away unless the value is too much for you because, one, I believe you've got a very young offense trying to gel. You've got a sophomore quarterback. Things can go kind of sideways there. You've added Rishard Matthews, who's going to get 50 catches plus. You've added DeMarco Murray. I don't care what you say. He's going to steal some attempts and some carries there, right?
No.
he's still going to disagree. He's going to get touches, and then they added the rookie.
For the first three games, he's going to get touches, and then we're never going to hear from DeMarco Murray.
I'm just saying that I think I like Walker, but, boy, I'm not going to draft him based on last year's. This is a classic example of do not draft a player based on last year's production.
You draft a player because he's talented and because he has his chemistry with Marcus Mariota. I would say that Gronk is essentially in a tier by himself.
Agreed.
And then you have Reed, Eifert, Olsen, Kelsey, Walker, and that's it. I think he's the last sort of pseudo elite tight end. And if you want an elite tight end, I think that he's kind of like the basement of. He's the guy who you get if everybody else is gone, even though, you know, I think he could pretty much pace with just about any other one of those guys aside from Gronk. But, you know, if you're in if you're in a 1.5 PPR league for tight ends, I think he's borderline, you know, that tier of guys is borderline essential to have on your team.
I think you're spot on with that second group. So that's a group that we're all going to become very familiar with. I think there's going to be enormous uniformity in agreeing to that. Reed, Olsen, Eifert, Walker, Kelsey, just like you said, that group, very, very solid. So since we're here, let's just real quickly, because it's kind of fun, we're doing some mock drafts. So you wait, you don't get in that group. That next tier of players begins kind of a little personal opinions start to creep in. So is a guy like Kobe Fleener going to emerge out of that next group because of his opportunity?
I would tap Austin Seferian Jenkins before I would tap Kobe Fleener.
I like him too. Yeah. So those two, maybe even perhaps Julius Thomas, but that offense has got so many weapons now.
No, I mean, I think Julius Thomas is going to have a much better season this year.
Yeah, I like those three guys. But very interesting. So anyways, Welker, Chris a little higher on him than I am. I think that Tennessee offense has got a lot going on, and they're going to learn to play this year. I think you're going to see some kind of...
I disagree. The Tennessee offense, I think, has a lot less than you think going on.
Well, by going on, I mean new players, new pieces,
and
just not solid. It won't be steady.
And a guy playing checkers, trying to figure out how to use them, like Malarkey.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I mean. That's exactly what I mean.
But the thing is that Mariota's got a safety valve. He's got Delaney Walker. I think Walker is going to win out most of the time because Mike Malarkey doesn't know what he's doing. In any case, we were talking about this before we went live, but the Bills are trying to infuriate Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah. So what was the quote? Something like, they basically are talking about their rookie Jones already, mm-hmm. that they're not going to sign Taylor, let him play out his rookie contract, and that Jones could be the next guy.
Yeah. And they said that, you know, Jones has, he's perfect to sit for a year. He's got a little ways to go. And he's the heir apparent. They are really kind of sticking it to Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, and not good for a team that, let's just be honest, with talent and what they have on offense, that team should be a lock for 500, which means with some break and some chemistry, they're chasing for a wild card playoff spot, right?
I also think what they're doing here, and let's see if you go with me, but Fitzpatrick still isn't signed. They could trade Tyrod Taylor. I'm not saying that there's a huge market for him at this point, but they could trade him and just sign Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, I think there's some posturing always going on, I think, with Rex Ryan. But this team is, I just hope they don't put Jones in there in week five if they happen to be 2-4.
Yeah. Defense is good enough where I don't know if they're going to go. Yeah, I mean, they could be 2-4. Their defense is really good. I think they'll be a little bit better this year.
They should.
But 2-4 would be tough. Hugh Jackson, he does this. He's talking up Duke Johnson and Isaiah Crowell, saying that they're... talent is extreme, is the quote. I liked that.
Talent is extreme. Talent does not always equal production. There's more to it, but talent's one of the prerequisites. Isaiah Crowell burnt me last year for sure, but I probably blame more of the Browns' management than anything else as far as how they ran their team. Duke Johnson is a sexy, attractive pick. You know, very electric player, Chris. But we lost some great talent on this offense, and I'm going to miss Everett on this team. I don't care what anybody says. I'm concerned about investing in a running back on this team.
So who are they going to miss?
Everett at center is a big deal. Not Everett. Anyways, the center they lost. I'm sorry. I blanked on his name.
Yeah.
So I'm very disappointed with that. So, but it was understandable. So, I mean, quarterback's going to be RG3, playing essentially the first time in a year and a half, right?
Yeah, about a year and a half. So that's it's Alex Mack. I don't know where you got Everett from.
Yeah, where did I get Everett from?
And I totally spaced.
Well, I killed you when I said that. I killed you too early in the morning. Well, I killed you when I said it.
I was thinking Mitchell Schwartz, the right tackle that they missed. And then you said Everett, and it really threw me for a loop.
Yeah, it was a test. It was a test.
But yeah, two good, solid starting offensive linemen. They lost, so that's. The only thing here is that what else do they have other than their running game?
Well, it at any rate, if you're running back zero, you're going to look at these running backs if they fall. Duke Johnson's going to go early because there's always going to be 1 in 12 people are going to evaluate Duke Johnson as going to be a clear-cut starter on the team, you know, more like a 70-30 role, which I don't think is going to happen. So I think Crowell is just a player you use at very late on running back zero. And if Duke gets hurt, then you get some benefit there.
Yeah. Depending on basically whoever, if either one of them falls further than they should, then I'll take them. But other than that, I'm not specifically targeting either one right now.
No.
I thought that it was good that we were just talking about the Bills. I meant to toss this in there. Cordy Glenn signed a 5-year extension, their left tackle.
Huge.
Pretty nice for LeSean McCoy, Carlos Williams, that entire offense.
Yeah, Incognito is coming back during the offseason, and they've got great continuity on their offensive line, great for McCoy. If you're a believer in Carlos Williams, so you've got that going for you right now. Charles Clay is a dirt cheap tight end there, but with that quarterback game, you really can't depend on that. And you're still really disappointed about Sammy Watkins.
Yeah, Sammy career injury has kind of been impacted by injuries, to say the least.
Oh, yeah.
It's unfortunate. Hopefully he can stay healthy this year, because when he was right last year, you started to see why they spent so much to go get that guy, because he's very talented. He helps the offense overall, and they certainly need him in order for that offense to function properly. So hoping for a good next year for him. You mentioned DeMarco Murray, and I love the narrative that he, quote, loved the Derrick Henry selection. I'm sure he loved it, Bob.
You know, this is, I have to tell you, now I have to let some, we have some scoop, give scoop on this one.
Okay.
So I know a person who was at, he's a season ticket owner for the Titans. He was at an event down in Tennessee where they had DeMarco Murray in signing autographs. So here you got the big flashy free agent comes down to your town. You've set up an event. He's going to sign autographs. People get in line. You and I are going to hate this story, and I certainly did. So he stays there for his 1 hour, and even though there were still about another half an hour's worth of people in line, yes, he did. It was time to go. He left.
And these are season ticket holders, and usually not first-year season ticket holders. These are people who have been around for a while.
They've been hanging. They've probably been hanging. Yeah. The story I heard from the season ticket holder, along with a few others who are there, there was some definite, what's your word? You have vile. What's the word you use for that sometimes?
Some bile.
Yeah, they weren't real pleased.
Yeah, there was, well, I mean, he's starting off on the right foot. So
it was bad.
From game one, when he runs directly into a defender and just falls down, they'll start booing him immediately. So that's good. That's starting off on the right foot, DeMarco. That's great.
I didn't like it. It goes more to what you said. You were a little concerned about the kind of mojo to this whole thing. And maybe we're starting to see it.
Oh, did you another Titans thing, this is actually kind of good. Did you see Chance Warmack just ripping their offensive line coach?
Yeah, what is happening? Does he want out of Dodge or something?
Well, no. So they relieved their offensive line coach that was there last year and I believe the year before. And so their offensive line coach, the only position that he played was linebacker at a D3 football school.
Boy.
And Chance Warmack didn't like that very much. Didn't have a ton of respect for him. So maybe the offensive line plays a little bit better this year. But I thought it was pretty much the day after they didn't pick up Warmack's fifth-year option on his contract that he came out and really just savaged this guy. So
I just remember the guy's name was something funny, like Bob Bastard, because it was my name. It's not Bastard. But
sorry,
it's
with a B.
Close.
Yeah,
it's right. Very close.
Uh-huh. I thought that was an interesting thing to come out of this week. Also, Bishop Sankey not guaranteed to make the team. Hope you didn't spend too much on him.
Oh, I hope I didn't keep him. I'm glad I didn't keep him, by the way.
Yeah, you...
I was okay with him last year. The sneaky, sleepy pick.
He's still sleeping. Yeah.
I also didn't know a linebacker coach was going to be coaching my offense.
Yeah, that's a concern. That's not optimal. That's not what you want. I thought it was the Vikings came out and spoke this week about Laquon Treadwell, saying that the further that he gets away from that that ankle injury, they think the faster he's going to be, and he's going to get into that 4.45-40 range by maybe even by the time the season starts.
Well, you're bigger on that than me, because I don't think it matters how fast he is. They still can't get him the ball.
Well, I mean, regardless of whether you like Treadwell or not, you like...
It's Teddy is who I don't like.
Well, yeah. I mean, but the other thing is, too, is that you like Jared McKinnon.
I do.
You like Adrian Peterson.
And I do.
Treadwell is the best blocking wide receiver to come out in a couple of years now. So
yeah, you said that during the draft show, which if you guys missed that and skipped over that episode, it's kind of a fun episode to go back. We crammed in like in an hour, the whole draft show, if you missed that. I think that was last Saturday. I don't know.
Yeah.
You talked about that. And actually, after that episode, I went and looked up some of Treadwell's game tapes and watched some of his clips. And, you know, you're right. He's kind of a fun player. He's one of those wide receivers kind of fun to watch because he does go to work on every play.
I thought it was funny that during the draft too, Michael Irvin said that North Turner was going to turn him into him.
Oh, Michael Irvin, I love you. And thank you for being there.
You don't, but yeah. This Anthony Davis thing with the 49ers is getting weird. Davis has talked about having weird conversations with Trent Baalke. Davis says he's unretired. Baalke says he's not. How about you just let, like, how about you just help a top 10 right tackle come back to your team and help your team, Trent Baalke?
I like that. And how about just make sure you protect the value of said commodity, even if it doesn't end up on your team? This is the same team that probably is going to keep a player inactive all year. We'll talk about later, I bet, just to save money. The same idea with Davis. If hopefully you get him on your team to help you, like you said. But if he's not going to be in your team, salvage some value, get a fifth round pick out of it.
Right? Yeah, I mean, I think you could get more than that too. Because
so do I.
You know, if this guy comes out and it seems like he wants to play, you cannot get a tackle like this right now. You can't. You're going to get a, you know, at best replacement level player. This is let's just say he's an average right tackle because of the year off. But when he was good, when he was right, he was nasty, man. He was, Carlos Hyde would love to have this guy back, and any running back would love to have this guy back. So, not really liking the masculinity, the pissing contests that are going on in San Francisco right now, including with Colin Kaepernick, who, have you ever heard so many positive quotes about Blaine Gabbert outside of his rookie year?
Not since year one.
Yeah.
And just to jump real quick back before we get into that, to substantiate what you said about what Davis could be worth, Evan Mathis, as a player we all loved and liked as a great player playing for the Broncos, but severely really some big health issues, really struggling to stay on the field, but he's our true warrior. The Cardinals snatched him up so gleefully, it wasn't funny. So a guy like Davis is worth so much more. But yeah, go ahead to Blaine Gabbert is looking like he's a solid second round pick.
Just hard pass.
Yes.
Hard pass. Thank you. Yeah, it's so Kaepernick might not even be active on game days.
Yeah, that's basically what we're reading. And so why would they do that, Chris?
Because Denver wouldn't give them a second or third round pick for him, and that's Colin Kaepernick's fault.
That's also right. And then there's a sneaky motivation, of course, too, is if he's inactive,
yeah,
the way his contract is, what I read is they actually can pocket $2 million.
Yeah. Yeah. And they will try to screw him because they
don't. And irritate him.
Yep.
Yeah. And irritate him.
Yep. Yeah. Great way to run a business.
Wow.
Great way to run a business. I mean, that's probably why we're seeing Carlos Hyde fall a little bit, is because Blaine Gabbert's the starting quarterback of this team.
We're okay with that Hyde falling, though, right? Yeah. I mean, he's not going to be the top five running back in the league this year because of the touchdown limits, probably. But I can still see a scenario where even with an average offensive line, they piece together some people there, right? This whoever's at quarterback, someone's still going to tote the rock. And if he stays healthy, let's hope he stays healthy. There's some good – if he falls, it's a great pick, I think.
Barring injury, he's definitely a top five running back, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think I like what's going on. He's the offense. The
offensive line has gotten, if they can get Davis back, it makes a good offseason for their offensive line even better.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, how about some little Teddy Bridgewater bashing real quick for you?
Sure, go.
Just got to try to help. Nuts. You know, he only had 7 games where he threw for more than 200 yards. You just keep that in mind when you like Treadwell and you like these other wide receivers. Only 7 times was there more than 200 yards. That's not a lot of yards, my friend.
The reason why he didn't throw it for 200 yards is because he was on his back 15 times, too. So keep that in mind. The offensive
44,
line.
Yeah, 44 sacks. That's not very kind.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that Taylor Lewan coming out and saying that he wouldn't have been comfortable moving to right tackle was kind of interesting.
It's very interesting.
But also, man, the Conklin thing, some of the stuff that, you know, no one's going necessarily on the record, but it's just kind of crazy that they gave up as much as they did to go get that guy.
They did. They really felt that this guy was the – I think they feel like this is a guy to help cement that offensive line, but we'll see. I liked Conklin a lot in the mock drafts we were doing for the NFL teams. There were 32 of us in there. I think you saw, I think in two of three drafts, I was able to get Conklin where the Dolphins drafted. Never. We didn't have the free fall for Idiocrity that the real NFL had. I had to get Conklin where the Dolphins drafted. And I liked him a lot, but I thought they gave up a lot as well, Chris. I agree. They just had a lot to give, though, didn't they?
Well, but just because you have a lot to give doesn't mean you should give it. Yeah. You know, everybody likes the story of Conklin being a walk-on and turning himself into a top 10 pick and all that stuff. But
yeah, fun story.
At some point, you know, being an elite athlete does count for something, especially in the NFL.
Yep.
So we'll see. I'm not super comfortable with the Conklin pick quite yet. I think they should have probably scaled that offer back a little bit. Maybe waited to see if they could get Tunsil. Cody Kessler, another guy getting talked up. Browns really love this game manager, Bob.
They do.
They love him. What do you think? Do you think that he might actually play over Griffin?
No, I think it's a protection talk to keep him 100% engaged that he has to be ready to play should RG3 get hurt or they want to play him. I think they just want to make sure they're indoctrinating him to the NFL. So you know, it'd be a disaster if they play him. I mean, I kind of like the guy a little bit. And I hope every player the Browns drafted does well. I really do. But the best thing could happen to him is, you know, your truism is, you know, please let him watch for a year. Please let him run the practice team and run the scout team all year. That'd be great for him.
You know, another funny situation that I thought this week was this magical secret workout that Christian Hackenberg had with the Jets that totally sold them on him.
Yes.
Christian Hackenberg, what, it's been like
3 years?
Yeah, it was his freshman year when he played well under Bill O'Brien.
Yep.
Robert Griffin III has more recently played and played well than Christian Hackenberg, and at least Robert Griffin III was in the NFL when he played well.
Yeah, he's just right now he's damaged goods, and you know we've had friends that had this happen to them, Chris. You know, he was in an organization that was robust, knew what they were doing, had it together. He was drinking the Kool-Aid and loving it, and then all of that got ripped away from him. He got left in a vacuum. You know, he had a player by the name of Allen Robinson. So I'm giving him a pass on the disaster his last couple of years, but that doesn't mean I'm elevating him to where he got drafted, right?
Yeah,
so
no.
I mean, very interesting player to put on my team, very interesting player to develop if I'm a quarterback whisperer. So, you know, I actually like him there. I just think they went so early for him. And I think since he's got the physical tools, now you got to see him get his mental game back. So I like him for the Jets, just hated where they got him.
Yeah, it was aggressive. It was a strong play on their part.
It was a strong.
And like, just sign Ryan Fitzpatrick. Like, what the?
That's a weird stuff going on. You know, Teddy got sacked 7 times against the Broncos last year in one game.
Yeah, and he also got destroyed against, I think it was the Packers.
Packers, 6 sacks. Very good.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah.
Both games were 1-touchdown games, by the way, which tells you a little bit about how the game was managed. So, hey, folks, don't forget FFAC, Fantasy Football Auction Championship. Go to our website, and you can sign up for the Fantasy Football Auction Championship going on right now. You'll sign up for online leagues and your opportunity to win a pretty nice prize for your investment. You can win $7,500. The other thing on that webpage, of course, is our weekly newsletter. Sign up right there for free. That's all you'll get is that weekly or bi-monthly newsletter during the offseason. With that entry, your name goes in the hat for winning a free main event team at the KFFFC or a free main event team at the Southern Bluegrass Fantasy Football Championship. So just signing up for a newsletter, you get a chance to win one of two pretty nice prizes, Chris, with a chance on those to also win $7,500.
Yeah, couldn't help but notice that, you know, our newsletter comes out tomorrow, and I submitted my contribution to that, and couldn't help that you took notice because you dropped Evan Mathis pretty much immediately as soon as you read that. You forgot about that. That one went by you until I pointed it out. Didn't go by
Zing.
Me.
Zing.
I made note of Evan Mathis.
Yeah, it's in the article. It's nice. That's nice.
So Brian Hoyer, another backup going to the Chicago Bears.
Well, you know, you lose that. I'm the guy's down on the Bears, I think, in most conversations. I view Adam Gase leaving the Bears as, and Martellus Bennett leaving. I view this as a recipe for plunging value on these players that everyone thinks Jay Cutler's fine. I don't like it.
Okay. But it's not like you're spending outside of...
I'm spending nothing.
Yeah, you're not spending anything on Jay Cutler. You know, it's...
Yeah.
I think that this is relatively...
But it's the wide receivers, Chris.
Yeah, so Alshon Jeffrey you'd have to pay for, and I could totally understand why you wouldn't want to spend a second round, third round pick, given everything that's there. But, you know, Kevin White's going to fall. Jay Cutler's going to fall.
Definitely.
Jeremy Langford's not going to fall, but I'm not taking him regardless.
Regardless, right with you.
Have fun with him in the third round, guys.
Jordy Nelson or Jeffrey?
Jordy Nelson.
Thank you.
Yeah, love that. Not close.
Mike Evans or Jeffrey?
Mike Evans.
Nice. Keenan Allen, tougher.
PPR or non-PPR?
Yeah, PPR.
Keenan Allen.
Same with me.
All right. Another kind of interesting talk-up by a team was Devontae Booker. Did you see this?
I did not.
Running back for the Broncos that they drafted fourth round.
Yes.
Said that they think that he can be a full-time player, and he's gonna play this year.
Oh, he's definitely going to play this year because at some point they're going to get disappointed with what CJ does, and then they'll get all squirrely, and then they'll want to check out. I mean, Booker was the number two back on a lot of people's boards, so... Yep. The kid out of Utah only played 2 years and can catch. I know he had, I want to say, 40 catches each of his 2 years. Mm-hmm. So kind of a thick guy, 200 plus yards, 200 plus pounds, I mean. I think he's a three down back, but I don't know this year. Right?
Just a name to watch out for because this team has, you know, a pretty storied history of turning late running backs into very productive players. So if you do spend on CJ, I would... maybe hedge your bet later on in the draft. Clive Walford, a guy who, nice little touchdown guy for a couple of weeks last year. Mm-hmm. ATV accident. He's got a bad gash on his knee. Don't like that.
Well, I don't like that either. Jeepers creepers. No. He was sneaky last year.
Yeah. And I liked him coming into this year as being a nice compliment, maybe a tight end too. I don't know. You're going to need to throw some cold water on me about the Raiders, though. Pretty much nothing can take me off the Raiders at this point.
It's an offense that's going to sling the ball around, so I like it too.
Yeah, and a really, really nasty offensive line.
And kind of a fun thing about them is they're going to make enough mistakes that they're going to have to keep slucking the ball around. I don't see the Raiders ever being in a ball control game.
I don't think that their defense is good enough yet. To be in a ball control again. I think that it's getting a lot better.
Yep.
But I don't think it's good enough yet for them to... No, well, now maybe Khalil Mack just single-handedly just makes that an elite defense. But yeah. I think the personnel overall is getting there. And I think maybe next year at this time, we're talking about this being one of the elite defenses. But the thing is number one, they have Khalil Mack. And number two, they have Jack Del Rio, who, regardless, pretty much can almost always... chip together at least a decent defense as long as he has some pieces. So great defensive coach, elite defensive player, maybe a sneaky fantasy defense for people to draft.
I think so. I think that it definitely is going to be on rosters and on and off rosters being played streaming defense for sure.
Yep. And I mean, they're playing against Mark Sanchez twice. So that's helpful, right?
It's helpful. I agree. It is helpful. In a hurt team, that offense is hurt. That offensive line is a step down.
Yeah, lost it. The aforementioned Evan Mathis. Danny Amendola restructured his contract. Pats take two receivers. Amendola restructures his contract.
Yeah, very, very interesting. Poor Danny. Never going to be in that A grouping, right? It's always just a B+.
Yeah, he's just a fill-in guy. I don't think you need to roster him. You just pick him up off the heap and put him in when you need him on bye weeks and stuff like that.
Agreed. Yep.
Would you do Edelman or Jeffrey?
I would do Edelman.
Even with Brady out for the first 4 weeks, conceivably?
It hurts, doesn't it?
Well, he's got till May 23rd to appeal the suspension. So he can do that, and I think he will. And he might sue Roger Goodell for defamation. He might happen. So this is, unfortunately, our long Deflategate nightmare is not over. I think Brady plays the first four games of the season. So I think Patriots are undervalued right now.
I hope he does. But in that case, I probably would have to tilt back to Jeffrey in that case. But I would hope I'm able to pick up someone like Brandon Cooks or I don't know, even maybe Kelvin Benjamin might tempt me more. But I think I'd take Cooks over Jeffrey, but I think I would take Jeffrey over Edelman.
Yep. All right. Anything else you want to talk about? I know you got to get going.
Derby. We got Derby. So I'll give four horses to people if they're betting any remote, just not the favorites, because that's the easy thing, and that's no good. So more Spirit. MOR Spirit, kind of an interesting horse. I like that. Creator is going to be the horse to close at the end. Another good long shot. My Man Sam and Monaham. So Monaham, My Man Sam, More Spirit, and Creator. I like all those horses. It's kind of being a fun triple combination. So
I feel like hopefully we have a good day. This year. There's a lot, and there's a lot of weird names this year.
Yeah. So outside of those I just said, and then say Motom and Creator. And NyQuest. Outside of that group, they're kind of a different. They're a bunch of Tennessee Titans.
I can't wait for one of those guys to win. One of those horses to win. Now that you said that,
yeah, it will be everybody but what I just said. Yep. Right,
pretty much.
Anyways, no. Thanks everybody for listening. Don't forget the free newsletter and get an entry in for your free team and check out the auction championship.
Yeah, newsletter tomorrow. I think it's gonna be fun.
All right. Get us out of here, buddy.
See you soon, guys, at All Purpose Roto on Twitter, allpurposeroto@gmail.com, allpurposeroto.com to sign up for said newsletter and check out the Fantasy Football Auction Championship. You'll see you soon.